Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. This is CNN 10. I'm Omar Jimenez. I am so happy to be back, just filling in for Coy Wire today, though he may make a surprise appearance in some way. You never know. But the news doesn't take a day off, so let's get right into it. We've got a jam-packed show for you. We begin in Sudan, where there is a major humanitarian crisis that really isn't getting enough attention. This all started when a war broke out in April of last year between Sudan's army and a paramilitary group called the Rapid Response Forces, or the RSF. Now, during the beginning stages of the war, the RSF took control of most of the country's capital city of Khartoum, as well as Darfur and other regions in western Sudan. Late last week, though, the Sudanese army claimed its first major advance in 10 months, taking back part of the city of Omdurman, but the RSF has disputed those claims. The effects of this war have created a tragic scene in Sudan, where thousands have been killed and nearly 8 million people displaced. According to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, nearly 18 million people are facing acute hunger, as well as civilian infrastructure and health facilities being destroyed. Internet blackouts have limited communication, where many are unable to seek safe zones or access health care and banking services. Children have been greatly impacted as well, with some 19 million of them not attending school. The U.S. has determined that both sides of this conflict have committed war crimes, but is holding the RSF responsible for crimes against humanity and ethnic cleansing in Sudan. Now, I know that was a lot to take in, but we want to bring you the latest on this humanitarian crisis, so we're going to turn now to international correspondent Larry Madowo.
Sudanese armed forces celebrate as they advance in Omdurman, the twin city of the capital Khartoum. The army releasing these videos last week, seeing it as a win in its war against the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. In North Darfur, the agony of Sudan's children, the youngest victims of a war that has raged for 10 months. This small clinic, run by the aid group Doctors Without Borders, in the Zamzam camp, is the only one for miles. A child dies every 2 hours here, the agency says, as the war has led to catastrophic cases of malnutrition.
We have over 200 patients every day waiting for treatment. And they are not coming only within the camp, they are coming also from the surrounding area, looking for health care.
They are overwhelmed that these mothers and their children have nowhere else to go.
We are out of everything, even wheat. Now we just get insignificant amounts of food to make it through the day. I have 5 children apart from this one.
Sudan has the world's largest displacement crisis, the UN says, as 15% of the population have fled their homes. Humanitarian workers say it is not getting enough funding or attention.
It feels like the country's really been abandoned and the children and the country's children have really been abandoned. What this means for families and children is that they're facing a lethal combination of displacement, hunger, and disease outbreaks.
It is arguably the biggest humanitarian crisis today. It is bigger than the other crises that get a lot more attention.
Everything is in short supply in Sudan, and a ceasefire appears unlikely. Those caught in the middle of another war worry and wait.
Now, for our next story, we head to Europe, where the European Commission recently announced a very ambitious goal to help cut down planet heating pollution and carbon emissions. But some people are not on board with this proposal. Our international climate editor, Angela Dewan, explains.
The European Union recently announced one of the world's most ambitious goals to tackle climate change. It wants to cut 90% of its carbon pollution by 2040. That's from 1990 levels. There's a lot standing in their way. Farmers, for example, have been protesting for months against some of the EU's strongest climate policies because they say it's too hard to keep food growing for their people if they have to do these new measures like using certain types of fertilizers. Automakers, for example, don't want to phase out combustion engine cars quite as quickly as the European Union does. They want to get rid of combustion engine cars by 2035, and a lot of countries are saying that's too soon. Another sticking point is defence. So Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the EU, announced she's going to run for re-election. She made climate center of her agenda in her last term, but this term, climate was largely missing from her agenda speech. And that's largely because defense has really taken over the climate agenda in the last few months. So what happens next? The EU is notorious for taking months and months to get legislation finalized. This is going to be up to a year of talks to discuss exactly how to reach this 90% target. And while there's broad support for that target in the current parliament, that all may change in June. There are elections coming up, and the Greens parties are expected to lose a lot of their seats to Conservatives and even far-right parties that may not be so progressive and ambitious on climate. So what that will look like in the future, we'll see.
All right, everybody, 10-second trivia. Which country became the first European nation to establish a national parks system? Is it England, Sweden, France, or Germany? If you said Sweden, shout it from the nearest mountaintop. It is Sweden. In 1909, the country designated 9 areas of its country as national parks, the first nation to do so in Europe. All right, speaking of Sweden, that's where some, we're going to call them brave young students, are taking a school course in a chilling situation, quite literally. Dozens of children, fully clothed, are jumping into this frigid lake. Is this an ice plunge challenge? No, it's actually part of the elementary school curriculum, where it teaches kids survival training on what to do if they ever fall through the ice from one of the many lakes in the country. As you see, students with big backpacks strapped on learn how to use ice spikes to help pull themselves out of the icy waters. These classes are gaining attention now with a rise in ice incidents in the country. All right, as you know, today is Friday, and we couldn't let you go the whole week without getting at least some FaceTime from our very own Coy Wire. Recently, Coy had a chance to speak with a bunch of celebrities who graciously offer some tips for success specifically for you. Check this out.
What's that one secret to success?
Not judging yourself too early. You know, everybody wants everything so fast now. You know, and the reality is real stuff takes time.
The seeds you plant today will grow in 10 years if you water them for the next 10 years. And that's the mistake people make. They plant seeds and they forget to water them. They think, well, no, I planted that seed that should be growing. No, you got to water every single day for all 10 years.
Have goals, have dreams, and work hard to accomplish those goals.
Focus on the process. Don't focus on results.
Whoever you are, once you figure out who you are, just be that person, regardless of anyone else's opinion, regardless of what anybody else says or thinks. You are not built to blend in. Blend out, by all means.
Follow your mind, follow your passion, and follow your own dreams. Don't let no one negate it. Tell you otherwise. Believe in yourself and work hard.
I love that.
You are a 10 out of 10.
You are a 10 out of 10.
You are a 10 out of 10.
You are a 10 out of 10. Peace and love.
What a great way to end the week. Thank you, Coy, for grabbing those interviews. And thank you all for letting me guest host this amazing show. Coy will be back next week. Don't worry. But before I go, I got to shout out some of you. I want to shout out Delaware Valley High School in Milford, Pennsylvania. Thank you for making this show special. Have a great weekend. And until next time, thank you for letting me be part of the CNN 10 family.